Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Audio Podcast, the SmackDown review for the SmackDown that aired August 26, 2011, taped August 23rd in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. My name is Chris Shore. Joining me, as always, Jake Barnett. We are the SmackDown contributors for .net, and we do this every single week. Usually it is a members-exclusive audio review, but this time we're bringing it to you all-access style to give you guys a chance to hear what we do here. And if you like what you hear, then you're in luck. We do this, like I said, every single week. We also do it for Raw. Jason Powell does the review for Raw each and every week. We also have Will Pruitt, who does the TNA Impact Wrestling audio review. Plus, Jason and I do a Q&A audio each week where members can ask us both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. Jake and Will team up every Wednesday for .NET Countdown, where they discuss the best and the worst of wrestling each and every week. And then on Thursdays, Jason and I do the .NET Weekly Audio Show. That is our flagship show. It usually runs at least 90 minutes. Most of the time it pushes a little over 2 hours. We talk about the news of the week and often have first-run news that you've not seen on the website or anywhere else. And you can have access to all this audio right now for a very good deal. Jason has set up a summer sale where you can try out .NET for just $5. That's right, just $5 will get you access to all that audio, plus the ad-free version of the site, access to the .NET members forum, access to the .NET members blog site. If you ever wanted to blog about professional wrestling, we've got it all set up for you. You can do it right there. You know, it's $2.50 off of the monthly price. If you want to check it out, definitely do that. And once you do, you can lock in that $5 price, which is a saving still over our annual rate, our normal annual rate. All you got to do if you want to get access to this stuff, try it for the month, go ahead and lock in for the year, whichever you want to do. Just head on over to ProWrestling.net if you're listening on iTunes. If you're listening on the site, you're already there. Once you get there, look on the right-hand side. You'll see the big sign there that's already set up. Got the codes for you to be able to put in to get to save those to make those savings for your sign up. Again, $2.50 off of the single month price, 50 cents off of each month if you want to sign up for the annual rate. Just $5 a month. That's the actual charter price that charter members are able to pay that nobody else is able to get anymore. So if you want to take advantage of it, and you always thought about getting a membership to .NET or one of the sites, now is the time to do that. So we've made it really affordable for you guys. And, again, access to all the audio, all the old audio that's up. We've got interviews with Shane Helms, interviews with Chris Jericho, lots of the guys who used to write for WWE on the creative team, Dutch Mantel, former Tough Enough contestants Jeremiah Riggs and Michelle Dayton. I interviewed the elaborate entrance of Chad Deity, playwright Christopher Diaz. Just a ton of audio there for you that's still there for you guys to check out. All the new stuff we produce each week. Access to the ad-free version of the site. And, of course, the members forum and members blog section. Definitely worth checking out. So head on over to .NET. If you're not there, and once you get there again, on the right-hand side, sign up for the member sign-up page. Click on the links. The codes are there for you. Enter the codes, and you'll be able to get those savings and check us out all the time. And let's go ahead and bring Jake in now. Jake, thanks again for joining me, as always, each week. And here we are with SmackDown. Last week's show was kind of just a holding pattern type show, and we talked about that, how the biggest problem with it was that nothing really advanced. We were just kind of there and in a holding pattern. We had Mark Henry win the number one contenders match through a battle royal, set him up as the next contender for Randy Orton's World Heavyweight Championship. And unfortunately, it looks like this week we got more of the same. Instead of booking towards the next pay-per-view, everything seems to be booking towards next week. And, of course, next week on Tuesday is the first ever Super SmackDown, is how they're calling it. When I first reported that, it was the first ever live, which is not exactly accurate. But the way the press release read is the first ever Super SmackDown live special. And so they're going to show that on Tuesday. Obviously, to kind of get ahead of bad ratings for Labor Day weekend. But it should be a good show. They've got stars from Raw coming over, and of course, anytime it's live, it always feels like a bigger and a better show. But I got to say, I wasn't real impressed with the show. By the time I was done covering it, I said, you know, it was just kind of a sleepy show in that it didn't really, pique my interest in any way. It wasn't bad. I'm not really, going to rain crap on it, but it didn't do anything to make me want to keep watching. I kind of just kept watching because I had to. If I was a casual viewer, I probably would have turned the channel at some point because it just didn't do anything to pique my interest. What did you think of the show overall?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much in agreement. I thought it was fairly average, maybe even slightly above average, just because there were some pretty good moments in the ring on the show. I thought some of the matches, you know, they weren't technical masterpieces, but I enjoyed watching them. So, you know, while it, you know, it's not going to blow your doors off, it was definitely a solid enough show, you know, to worth, you know, to make it worth watching if you really enjoy some good in-ring matches. I thought Daniel Bryan and Christian was a fairly solid match. I thought Ted DiBiase and Randy Orton was a pretty solid match. And I enjoyed the, you know, the main event between Mark Henry and Sheamus. You know, none of those matches are, you know, are going to be something that we'll be talking about, you know, a month or 2 months from now. But I think there were good enough TV matches to make the show watchable. You know, so it, while it wasn't, you know, an exciting show from a storyline standpoint, because it really was just kind of booking towards Super SmackDown next week, I thought it was, you know, at least entertaining enough in the ring to make the show worth watching.
Yeah, you know, like I said, there were certainly some good moments. It wasn't bad by any stretch of imagination, but I just, you know, about halfway through, I'm like, another hour of this? I don't know. Just for me, it didn't grab my attention and say, hey, and, you know, kind of shake me and say, hey, watch us. It was just more of, you know, here's a show and kind of hope you enjoy it. But let's pick it apart and we'll start at the very top. Obviously, this was taped in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We had a video that recapped Mark Henry's win in the Battle Royal last week. And after the normal opening, we've got Bret Hart's music and, of course, a huge response from the Canada fans, the Canadian fans. And, of course, that is Bret's hometown, and he got a huge response when it came out, played to the audience for a little bit in the ring before he finally took a microphone. He said that Teddy Long, for unforeseen circumstances, couldn't make it this week, and so his buddy Triple H, which was just really strange to hear, had the new COO had made him the guest GM for the night, and he booked Mark Henry versus Orton for the world title match on the Super SmackDown show next week, and that immediately brought Christian out. Christian came out and basically cut his same old promo, said that you know, wasn't his fault that he lost, and yada, 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 and I'm so tired of his character now at this point and what they've done with him. They've just destroyed his character, I think, at this point. But he, you know, he said that he wanted that rematch. He deserved it next. Bret told him he needed to grow a pair and start at the bottom and work his way back up like a man. Christian did blame Edge for the reason he had lost at SummerSlam. But Edge came out and distracted him with his words, and he couldn't concentrate, and that's what led to him losing. Bret said he should have listened to Edge. Edge gave him the best advice he could give him, and then he like said, to tell him to grow a pair and work his way up from the bottom. Christian pulled out a document that he handed to Hart. Bret looked at it and said that it was had big words on it, which, again, was kind of a strange moment. Christian said that it was a legal document. It was a court order that said, of course, drawn up by his legal team, that said that it basically barred WWE from giving anyone else a title match before him because he was due his rightful return match as former champion. Bret said, you know, you can't fight the government, can't fight the city hall or whatever it was, and went ahead and changed the match to next week to be Orton versus Christian, and then changed it to a cage match instead, which got Christian all riled up. We'll stop there and before we move on to the next thing that happened. And what did you think of Christian here? I mean, are you as we talked about this. We've talked about it many times. I kind of hate to kick a dead horse, but I think it does bear repeating. This, you know, the angle between those two started so hot. There were so many fans that just went nuts when Christian lost the title after just a few days, and you know, it was a big deal. And we defended that decision, and Christian's character was really compelling. And then it has slowly creeped back, as Jason has said, into the creepy little bastard character that he played before. And now he's just kind of this whiny thing that nobody really cares about. I'm willing to bet most of those boos we heard last night were piped in. What did you think?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, being in Canada, usually all the Canadian superstars get huge reactions, whether or not they're babyface or heel. So I would guess you're probably right. They did probably type those in. But yeah, his character is definitely kind of fallen down. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. He's not that compelling as a character anymore. He's taken too many clean losses. He's been booked kind of as a whiny little creep. And, you know, we talked about this, you know, quite a few times before, that creepy little bastard character just isn't the main event heel, and I don't know if there's a way to make it that way. I was hoping after Edge's speech and after a clean, pretty bad loss at SummerSlam that maybe we'd see some changes, but that doesn't look like it's going to be the case. And, you know, it's kind of sad because I really enjoy what Christian does in the ring, but, you know, this character is just not getting over with the fans and the microphone. So they're going to have to go back to the drawing board eventually. They're trying to get one more match out of this, but I'm not sure, what we're going to see on Tuesday. But hopefully this is the last hurrah for this character as a main event heel, because it's just not working.
They've had very good matches. I mean, we've talked about that plenty of times before. I mean, that first match on SmackDown where he lost the championship was incredible, and then they seem to keep going from there. But now even the matches seem to have lost some of their luster, though I will say that the no-holds-barred match at SummerSlam was my favorite match on that card. I mean, they really, I thought they, the psychology they used in that match and how they mixed in legitimate wrestling with or traditional wrestling, maybe was a better way of putting it, and then the hardcore stuff was just really, really good. This one's in a cage. Do you think that it's possible they can have another good match, or are we so tired of these two locking up that, you know, they can go out there and put on a five-star classic and nobody's going to care?
Well, you know, I'm not going to predict that they're going to come up short, just because I've made similar predictions the last couple of times they've stepped in the ring together, and they've always found a way to change up their patterns in the ring and deliver something different and deliver something great. So, you know, I'm sure that they're going to put on a hell of a match on Tuesday. Whether or not anybody cares about it is another thing altogether. I mean, it's they had a pretty tough task at SummerSlam getting into that match, and they got him back. So, I'm pretty confident they're going to do something in the ring. It's just, you know, Christian is so damaged as a character, it's hard to believe that that there's any doubt as to the conclusion walking into it. So, I expect a good match with a predictable finish, or, you know, if they go with interference from Henry or something, you know, that's another way out of it. But I think we'll see some good action, but cool ending.
After Brent booked the cage match, Christian started to complain about that, gave him the "you can't do that" speech, and Mark Henry's music hit. Christian wisely left the ring, and Henry got in Brent's face. And you know, Mark Henry continues to just blow me away with his mic work, not because it's the greatest thing I've ever heard, but because we just hadn't ever heard much good stuff out of Henry before in the past. And, you know, he's not Ric Flair, but compared to what he was, he's Ric Flair in that sense. I mean, he's really improved. And this may have been the best one we've heard from him yet. I mean, he got it right in Brett's face and said, you know, "I've been here 15 years. I still have to suffer this disrespect. I want the winner of the cage match next week. And if I don't get it, you know, as much as I respect you and everything you've done for this business, I cannot be held responsible for if I get angry. And, you know, Hart, are you trying to threaten me?" He goes, "I don't need to threaten anybody." And then Sheamus's music hit before they could go any farther. Sheamus walked to the ring and told, and he got a great reaction from the crowd, too, a really good pop from the crowd. He told some silly story about his uncle owning a farm, and he had a big, nasty, snarling black bull that used to chase off all the other farm animals. He said finally his uncle had enough one day and had him castrated. "Don't make me do the same to you." He jumped in the ring and ducked the clothesline and ended up knocking Henry over the top rope, daring him to get in the ring. Henry stared at him for a minute, waved his hand, and walked off to the back. And, of course, that was the main event. They were kind of pre-hyping that. Another good segment from Mark Henry, another good segment from Sheamus, two guys who continued to impress. But, again, really, I thought that Mark, his facial expression, I mean, everything about that promo was perfect. That's, you know, if you want to go and show people how to cut, you know, people who are still learning how to cut a promo when they're still new or while they're still getting their feet wet, not be over the top and just be effective, say what you need to say, get it over with. I don't know that you could find a better one than that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you were, you know, if you were going to tell somebody how to cut, you know, an effective promo as a monster heel, I think, you know, just have them watch Mark Henry tapes from the last couple of months. I mean, the guy has been almost subtle in his promos, and that's something that we've never seen from him before. You know, good facial expressions. He doesn't say too much. He gets his point across with very few words. And I think that's amazing compared to what, you know, he was coming from. So I don't have enough nice things to say about what Mark Henry's been doing the last couple of months. It's just been really fun to watch. And the same goes for Sheamus. I mean, he cuts these little funny stories, and they, you know, he tells them in kind of a funny cadence, and they, you know, the crowd buys into it, and they all get, you know, either laughs or cheers out of it. So, you know, what he's doing is working, too, from his end of things, and I think the dynamics between Henry and Sheamus has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I hope they're not moving away from this as quick as it feels like, because, I think that feud has still a lot of gas left in it, and, like I said, it's been very entertaining. It was the match we were most looking forward to on the SummerSlam card. It didn't produce at SummerSlam as much as I had thought. I was a little bit let down by the match. It wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but it just, you know, I kind of wanted more. I felt like, okay, that's fine. I'm not upset with that. They must be holding off because it's going to continue for a while, and so they're kind of slowly giving us what we're going to get from them. And, you know, they went back to it tonight, and so hopefully they're going to stay with that for a while. I know that Henry's got the title shot, but I really hope that Sheamus stays involved in some way, because they have been very, very entertaining. After the commercial, we had Christian in the ring. Daniel Bryan made his ring entrance, and while he did, they showed this just really impressive video of him. I mean, just a big-time hype video. It was the first of two we had tonight that really put over a wrestler during the show. The other was Mark Henry. We'll get there in a minute. But this one I thought was, you know, it really showed that they intend to get behind him, that they intend to, you know, push him at least to the top. Whether he's going to go all the way to the top and actually win a title at WrestleMania next year remains to be seen. But, you know, considering we were always concerned about how he was going to be misused in WWE, any, you know, Bryan Danielson fans at this point have to be very happy after seeing that video package there. I know you're a big fan of his from the indie scene. Did you like the package?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what more you could ask for. I mean, you know, it's all of, you know, Daniel Bryan's positives, you know, all of his intensity in the ring, you know, his more flashy offense and his submissions. I mean, those are the things you want to highlight. I think they covered all those in that hype segment. And, you know, I've been really just happy with the direction Daniel Bryan's been on for the last couple of months. So, you know, don't call me one of the complainers, because I'm definitely looking forward to his future in WWE.
We had, after that, you had all this great hype video and setting him up as this, you know, this guy who's got great things ahead of him. He takes the loss. First match of the night, Christian defeating Daniel Bryan in about 12 minutes. The end came when Daniel Bryan tried for a lapel lock, but Christian got to the corner, set up for the spear. They ran an really awkward series with Christian's sunset flip out of the corner, and Bryan rolled through, but then kind of paused for the kick. It was just, thought that kind of took away a little bit from the match. Christian ended up hitting a tornado DDT, Christian ended up hitting a tornado DDT for a near fall. Bryan at that point managed to come out of the neck. I think Christian was trying to pick him up. He grabbed his arm, managed to halfway lock in the lapel lock. Christian made it to the ropes to escape that, and then ended up hitting the kill switch for the win. I was really looking forward to this match when I saw what it was from the spoilers. You know, because obviously we've seen great matches out of Christian, seen great matches out of Daniel Bryan. I thought it was an okay match. There were some rough spots that were clunky in a couple of places, and we knew what we were going to get out of this had to be all in-ring stuff, because there's no story to these guys getting in the ring. And they did a pretty good job of telling a story in the ring as far as using psychology to get from point A to point B. but it was clunky at times. There were some spots where they just, you know, they kind of held and looked at each other for a second. And I think of the one spot where Christian went for the pendulum kick and Brian stopped it and draped him across the ropes. And Christian just kind of had to hang there for, you know, about 6 seconds while Daniel Bryan did his whole setup thing. Things like that just bugged me personally more so than anything else. So, you know, for me, this is an average match for them. I think they're capable of much, much more. Not bad, but just not as impressive as I kind of hoped it was going to be. I'm willing to accept that maybe I set my expectations too high for a TV match. But what did you think of it?
Yeah, I definitely agree that there were too many mistakes in the ring and too many awkward moments to call this match great. I think it was average, maybe a little, you know, above average considering, you know, the fact that I think Brian had worked a match earlier that night against Drew McIntyre for the Superstars taping. So I am pretty sure that was the second match of the night. I'm not sure. So I don't know if he was tired or what might have happened, but he seemed to be the catalyst for most of the mistakes in the ring, which is out of character for him. But I still enjoyed the match for the most part. I thought, you know, it wrestled at a good pace and they're able to work in both guys' signature spots. And, you know, it worked for the most part, but yeah, a lot of the flubs in the ring kind of took away from the overall effort. And, you know, Brian takes the loss here. I'm assuming that's because, you know, Christian's heading into a title match for next Tuesday. And, you know, well, he's on an upward trajectory, Brian, I mean. And, you know, we'll see him pick up some major wins heading towards whenever he cashes in that briefcase. And, you know, I'm still hopeful for what's going on with him for storyline reasons. And Christian needed the win to get some credibility back heading into his title match. So it ended the way I assumed it would.
Yeah, I mean, when I said that after all that hype, he took the loss, I really wasn't complaining. I was just kind of making a joke about the situation, how it played out. But, yeah, you're right, Daniel Bryan. There's plenty of time to build him up before SummerSlam, or excuse me, before WrestleMania. The announce team went out of their way again and again to point out that, you know, that he said he would cash in at WrestleMania. He's going to be in the main event. And then Cole, of course, just beat it to death about he's going to cash in. I believe he's going to cash in like everybody else does. He's going to have a weekend champion. Do you think that as the babyface, he could play, you know, teasing, cashing in at times? I mean, do you think that there's some way they could work that into the story down the road, is have him there with a heel champion that's knocked down and knocked out, and him standing there with the case and really tease him being tempted to cash in?
You know, I think it could be an interesting storyline if they work it that way. My other thought, you know, was, and this is just me playing fantasy Booker for a moment, but, you know, if they're going to have him on this losing streak, you know, it would be a fun way to cement a heel turn for him to show frustration in the ring at his continual losses and just end up, you know, cashing it in out of frustration to kind of get himself some momentum back. So I can see them going that route if they don't want to wait till WrestleMania and they want to pull the trigger early and they want to try Daniel Bryan as a heel. But, you know, I also like the alternative, which is the track they're on now, which is, you know, you keep him as a babyface and you build him that way. And, you know, he does something different than all the other Money in the Bank can, you know, cashers in, aside from, I think, Rob Van Dam, who also cashed in ahead of pay-per-view for a pay-per-view match. So he would be the first person to cash in ahead of time at WrestleMania, though, so I think both storyline possibilities are good, and, you know, whichever way they go, I'll probably be happy with either one.
After commercial, I think there was some Oksana stuff. I missed it somehow. I'm not really sure how I did that, but I was looking at someone's tweets after the show, and right here they tweeted something about Oksana, and I thought, oh, must have missed that somehow. I was distracted, I guess, but no big loss there, but we did have Wade Barrett in the ring with some local jobber guy. They did ring introductions, acted like it was going to be a match. Wade took the mic and said, I am not going to have this match. It's beneath me as a wrestler. It's beneath me as a man. Just really kind of, you know, dressed the guy down and said he wasn't worth it, dropped the mic and left the ring and went to the back, which, I mean, they just left it like that. It was kind of shocking and stunning, and was one of the moments I think that will stick with people coming out of SmackDown I liked it. You know, it's something different, something we haven't seen in a while, and I thought he used it perfectly. It ties in nicely to his what he said in the past few weeks about, you know, he lost sight of what he was supposed to be doing. He's there about money. He's there about championships. And this guy is not going to help him win a championship. It's kind of the way I read into it. I thought it was a really nice and something different and refreshing. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it worked. I mean, it works for, you know, Wade Barrett's character. He's there for, you know, for bigger things, and he knows it. And, you know, he wanted to declare that he's, you know, he doesn't want to go out there and put himself in the ring against people that he, you know, that are beneath him. And as a cocky, arrogant, and, you know, otherwise devious heel, I think it works. And for, you know, for the jobber, I mean, good for him. He ended up getting a paycheck without having to do anything. So, you know, it ended up working all right. And I am interested to see where Barrett is going. And I think, you know, starting to develop some interest in Barrett was the entire point of the segment, and I think that was accomplished in spades. So I think the whole thing was good.
After that was the Raw rebound, and I just want to ask you one question about this, because it is Raw. We're doing the SmackDown review, but since they put the video on here, I just have to say I've been thinking a lot about this John Cena and CM Punk series that's been going on, and there's not been a match that's been a clean win yet for either guy. I mean, we had the Vince McMahon, Johnny Ace semi run-in at Money in the Bank. We had the foot on the ropes at the last pay-per-view at the SummerSlam. Then we got, you know, Kevin Nash coming back out and distracting Punk at all Monday Night Raw. They've not had a clean, you know, moment out of either one of these guys, which is not surprising. We've seen anytime Cena takes a loss, it's always, you know, kitschy in some sort of way. But for me, as someone who was a WCW guy who, you know, primarily watched WCW during the Monday Night Wars, I, you know, Nash is in a car accident. He gets, you know, Triple H leaves the building to go check on him. Then, you know, at that point, it's just screaming, you know, he's going to come back and cause Punk the match. And sure enough, we get it. Was it just me, or did this Monday, at the end of this Monday's Raw, did it feel like we were watching Nitro all over again?
Yeah, that was definitely a WCW booking situation. Like, even a Nash booked WCW situation. Like that fake hospital trip with a car accident. Why was that necessary? It's just a clean example of overbooking. Like, why not just have Nash go out there and interfere if that's what you want to do? I mean, it's just, you know, all it did was, you know, was make Johnny Ace look like an idiot and Triple H look like an idiot for falling for it. So, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And you're right, it did feel a whole lot like an old Nitro episode or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just wanted to see if I was the only guy when it went off the air Monday night. I was like, was that Nitro? It just, you know, yeah. It's a screwy finish and Kevin Nash is involved. What year is it? I mean, it was just, I don't know, I guess for me specifically, it kind of stuck out. At the commercial, we had the second match of the night, Sin Cara defeating Heath Slater in 1:40. Basically a squash match for all intents and purposes for Sin Cara. I'm getting kind of agitated with this character insofar as, you know, they have the lights and everything, you know, for his match. They don't have really for anybody else's. And he just goes out there and does his spots in the crowd, oohs and ahs, and that's it. You know, and this one wasn't even that great because they had to reshoot it. For those who don't know, didn't read the spoilers, this was actually the second version of this match. They did it once. It was apparently just really bad, really sloppy, lots of blown spots. They went back out there, did it a second time. I don't know how long the first one was compared to this one, but this one was just barely over 90 seconds. He hits his spots and they were cool and all that good stuff. But I'm done with Sin Cara at this point. They desperately need to do something new with him. Whoever's underneath that mask, and it was Hunico, the guy who's wrestled in FCW with Hunico for some time. The word is that Mystico, who is the original Sin Cara, was at the show. He is eligible. His suspension for the wellness policy violation is over. He was backstage, dressed and ready to go. But they chose to use Hunico instead. I'm sure that doesn't create any type of locker room problems between those two. But I, I'm just done with this character. I understand the kids are starting to get into him and dig him and all that stuff, and that's cool, but they've got to do more with him at this point. He's just bland. I mean, he comes out, he does lots of flashy moves, but then that's it. So at this point, who really cares?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They definitely need to get him involved in a storyline, and he definitely needs to, I think they're doing, they announced Sin Cara versus Alberto Del Rio for next week's Super SmackDown, right?
Yes, they did. They did. I apologize. Okay. They did announce that, and that should be a good match, but yeah, they did announce that.
Yeah, I mean, so depending on, I mean, I would love to see Mystico and Del Rio go out there and tear it up, because I mean, if you can, get them involved in some kind of storyline heading into the Mexican tour this fall, I think that would be great for business. I look forward to seeing that. Or even if they, they go ahead with the Sin Cara versus the evil Sin Cara that they were talking about, or that was rumored, over the last month or so while he was on suspension. So, either of those would be fine, but I think you're absolutely right that just sending him out there and throwing on the blue lights and having him, defeat people in a minute 30 seconds with, when they cram about 100 flashy moves into that 90 seconds, I think it only goes so far, and I think we've reached that period where, we're on the cusp of not giving a crap anymore about this character because it hasn't done anything different in 6 weeks or 2 months. So we're at the point where they need to do something with it, or they need to find another, character to push, because this guy's running out of gas.
We had a video that recapped what happened between Orton, Cody Rhodes, and Ted DiBiase last week, with Ted DiBiase eating an RKO from Orton at the beginning of the show. Then Orton was shown backstage walking around, heading towards the ring. After the commercial, we had his ring entrance, and then Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes made their ring entrance, and Rhodes cut a promo on the way to the ring. He said that Randy had the World Heavyweight Championship, and that meant he was the best in the world at what he did. But Cody said that he was the best in the world at what he did, which was making miracles. And he said he was trying, or he was reinventing or revitalizing the prestige of the Intercontinental Championship. He was revitalizing his, or resurrecting his good friend Ted DiBiase's career. And he said he hoped that Orton believed in miracles because he did, implying that he expected Ted DiBiase to win. And he didn't. And we had Randy Orton defeating Ted DiBiase in about 12 and a half minutes for the third match of the night. Again, a good match, but not one that really captured my attention. We had very earlier in the match, we had Orton going for his DDT off of the ropes. Cody jumped up on the apron and was knocked back down to the floor by Orton. Orton went to the floor after him to hit an RKO. And just as he grabbed him, Ted DiBiase hit a dropkick through the ropes to break it up in a very cool spot as they went to commercial. When they came back, though, it was just kind of more of what we had before the commercial. Again, nothing flashy, nothing to really make you sit up and watch the screen, but just a solid match. DiBiase teased hitting Dream Street a couple of times, and the finish came when they did. Ted does a spot where he, when someone runs the ropes, he runs after him. They hit the ropes almost, not at the same time, but Ted hits the ropes just a second after them. When they turn around, he hits the clothesline. He actually pulled it on Orton earlier in the match. This time, Orton ducked the clothesline and hit the RKO for the victory. Again, much like the Christian Daniel Bryan match, this one didn't have as many weak spots as I thought the Christian Daniel Bryan match did. But it was one that just didn't capture my attention. I don't know if it's because Ted DiBiase has been so marginalized and he's facing Randy Orton, and Orton's going to go over going into Super SmackDown. And so whether you read the spoilers or not, it was obvious from go how this match was going to turn out, and that took some luster off of it, or if it just wasn't flashy. I mean, I don't know what it was, but I just at the end I was like, okay, that was good, but I don't feel good about it. I wasn't entertained by it like I thought I might be. I don't know. It might just be me watching that match. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was solid. I mean, it was definitely competitive back and forth. They both got some offense in, and they managed to get Rhodes involved a couple of times, and that was pretty much the whole thing. I mean, it was back and forth, but it wasn't you're right, it wasn't flashy or you know, really engaging. I mean, you could tell by the crowd reaction during the match that nobody really bought into DiBiase until, you know, the maybe, you know, pretty close to the finish of the match when he teased hitting Dream Street a couple of times. But, you know, I thought it worked to kind of show that DiBiase can compete with guys like Orton. So in that sense, I thought the match worked. And the, you know, the post-match was good, too, because I think that kind of plants a seed for the future storyline. So in the end, it was a you know, kind of a mediocre match, but I think it actually accomplished something, at least in storyline terms.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I can buy that. You know, if I see him against a big-name star next week, I'm more likely to take it as a possibility that he could win after hanging with Orton. That's fair. You mentioned the post-match stuff, and what we got was Cody Rhodes looking very upset, very pissed, very embarrassed about what happened. He helped Ted up in the ring, shook his hand, and, you know, that's the age-old indication in wrestling that something's about to go down, and sure enough, he's like, you okay? Ted said, yeah. He grabbed him and hit Crossroads on him, put the bag over his head and bad-mouthed him for a minute without a microphone, just to his face, or to the bag's face, I guess, and then left him laying there in the ring. I'm okay with that, except that I don't feel like there's any indication of what it means at this point. You know, so we see this with heel groups all the time, where, and we saw it with Legacy even, when they were with Orton as a heel group. You know, so he did this to him. Is that going to set Ted off next week? Are they broke up, for want of a better term? Or is this just tough love from Cody Rhodes and DiBiase is going to take it like a schmuck again? I just don't like that there's no indication of where it's going.
Yeah, it was kind of ambiguous in that sense, since, you know, Rhodes has beaten up DiBiase in the past, and he's kind of come back and stood next to him the next week. So it is kind of hard to tell where this is going. Where I hope it's going is that they're going to end up with in a feud over the Intercontinental title. But I guess that remains to be seen. But, it's at least something going on around the Intercontinental title where there wasn't before.
You know, I mean, I think we get there. I do agree we get there ultimately. I just don't know if it's now or if Cody's going to go on and feud with somebody else and continue to abuse Ted on the side until he breaks away finally. I mean, obviously that's where it's going, is these two, you know, facing each other. But I don't know. I liked it, but then I was hoping for some indication. I did not get a good feel if Rhodes was leaving him behind. It walked away leaving me with more questions than anything else, and not this kind of questions where I'm like, ooh, I definitely want to tune in and see. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. As I put in my report, we were starting to go ahead and get some of the winds from Hurricane Irene, who is now just rocking the North Carolina coast with the storm surge and the rain that she's dropping. We were starting to get winds last night, and it might just be that I heard all that howling going on outside, and it distracted me too much. But after commercial, we had Tamina and Kelly for their match. While Kelly made her entrance, we had an old-school cut-in promo from Natalya. Natalya said that Kelly was beautiful. She had perfect face, perfect teeth, perfect hair, perfect everything. She was an absolute doll. And then I thought she had a great line to close that out, which was, I don't play with dolls. Natty's mannerisms are kind of weird for me, but that was one of the better promos we've seen from her. Did you like the promo with the little cut-in? Did you like the fact that it was the old-school type with the little cut-in video feed at the bottom?
Yeah, the whole cut-in promo kind of brought back some fond memories, and I thought Natty executed well enough. I mean, she is, for whatever reason, she is kind of awkward to listen to on the mic. I don't know if she's entirely comfortable with herself yet, but hopefully she'll settle in and that'll improve. But overall, I thought this was probably the best promo that she's cut since they've done this kind of little heel turn stuff. So, I don't know. I still look forward to where this is going. I think they can get some good matches out of everybody in the Divas division with this storyline.
Well, I certainly hope so, because we didn't get one last night. It was fourth match of the night, Kelly defeating Tamina in 2 minutes and 46 seconds. It was essentially a squash match, easy for me to say, for Kelly. She hit almost all the offense, 90% of the match. She was in control and just kind of beat the men all over the place. But it was Kelly offense, and it's not very impressive. It aggravates the hell out of me. I thought it was a terrible match. She hit her finisher for the win. after hitting all of her spots. And you know, for me, as soon as she hits the ropes, or excuse me, for Kelly Kelly, as soon as she touches the ropes, but she doesn't hit them, like at that point, I'm just done. Like, I'm completely lost at that point. She's so weak in moving around the ring. You know, everybody's making a big deal of how much better she's gotten. And yes, maybe she can do more things, but I am not impressed with Kelly Kelly in the ring. I'm insulted as a fan, for, you know, with them trying to convince me that she's now some great wrestler. She looks good. She gets a great response from the crowd. I understand why you keep her as champion from a business standpoint. All that stuff's fine. But stop trying to convince me that she's a great wrestler because she's not. I mean, this match really annoyed me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a phenomenal wrestling exhibition, that's for sure. And I think it is kind of sad that they've been trying to push her as, like, the next best, you know, the next big thing in women's wrestling. Because, I mean, if you compare what, you know, Kelly Kelly matches look like to what Lita or Trish Stratus matches looked like 5 or 6 years ago, you know, there really isn't a whole lot of a comparison. I mean, it's women's wrestling versus, you know, what Divas wrestling has become, you know, which is basically, you know, models out there just trying to beat the crap out of each other in the weakest manner possible. So, you know, I'm not impressed with Kelly Kelly overall. I thought her match with Beth Phoenix was better just because of how, you know, how Beth was able to sell a lot of things more effectively than I think, you know, we saw from Tamina tonight. But, you know, I think the faster they can, you know, get the title on Natalya or Beth and move away from the Diva Dolls type of wrestling, I think the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, and real quick, not to, I don't want to completely trash Kelly Kelly in this match here. Tamina stunk up the joint, too. I mean, at one point, I think Kelly kicked her maybe, and she was supposed to fall out of the ring, and she got hung up on the second rope, and it was comical watching her trying to flip herself out of the off of the second rope onto the apron or the floor. It was really, really bad. So I mean, it's not just Kelly Kelly that was bad here. Tamina looked really bad here too. Backstage, Matt Stryker asked Jinder Mahal about not winning the number one contenders match last week, and Jinder cut his was becoming his standard promo, half English, half Punjabi. I don't know if he's saying it in Punjabi and then repeating it in English, or if he's saying something different in Punjabi and slipping in and out, you know, basically cutting a linear promo and slipping in and out of different languages. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't get an email on what was said this week. We have a couple of readers who speak Punjabi and have emailed us stuff in the past, but so I don't know which it was there, like I said, if he was repeating or if he was just continuing on. But the content was essentially that Kali's ego got in the way. He forgot what he was supposed to do. He has been re-educated in the fact that he is to serve Jinder and to only do what Jinder says. And he said that tonight's mission was to destroy Ezekiel Jackson. I'm really frustrated with this storyline right now because, I was watching, you know, Jinder Mahal, and I think that guy has money on him. I really do. I think that he has a big-time future in WWE and in professional wrestling as a whole. I mean, he has a great look. As a heel especially, he's going to have an easy time getting over. He's got just, I mean, he looks like a guy who's just kind of a pain in the ass. You know, he's playing this kind of Indian aristocrat who brought Kali's family out of poverty or whatever. I don't like that storyline necessarily because I don't think it works as well in America as they hoped it would. I'm frustrated in that this story was really hot. We liked it. They're finally kind of coming back to it, but it just, I don't know, it feels like they're trying to rush through it now at this point with Kali taking losses. But I thought this was a good promo. And, again, it went back to my level of frustration because you look at it and you go, that was a very good promo. Why are these guys just kind of languishing around? My ultimate hope is that these two guys end up as a tag team together with this new revamped tag division that they're starting to look like they're trying to work up now in WWE. Did you like the promo, and are you as frustrated as I am with what they're doing with this character? And more importantly, do you see what I see in Jinder?
Yeah, I think I've I've been in agreement with you, you know, all along. I think these two as a team had potential, but it seems like, you know, instead of Jinder doing the majority of the ring work and Kali acting as the enforcer from the outside, they're kind of doing the opposite, and it really isn't working, you know. And, you know, as far as the promo goes, I think Jinder's been solid on the mic the entire time. It's just that they haven't given, you know, what he's shown. You know, he's shown legitimacy on the mic, but they haven't given him the same legitimacy in the ring. So it's been difficult to, you know, to watch because, you know, I see a lot of wasted talent here. I think him and Kali could be solid as a tag team. I thought this team was very good when Jinder was doing the work and then Kali was kind of helping him win from the outside. And, you know, they just kind of have really dropped the ball on this, and I hope they can pick it back up because I think, you know, with the right creative support, these two guys could be really good together.
After the commercial, we did have the match. Ezekiel Jackson defeating Great Khali with Jinder Mahal at 2 minutes and 52 seconds. This is the one you got to go out of your way to see for one reason, and that's the finish. You had Khali working. He had the vice grips on Zeke. Zeke had broken his hand, you know, pulled his hands apart, but Khali slapped it back on. He was able to make his feet, though, in the process, so he got to the ring. The ref physically broke him up, which means his back was turned to Zeke. Jinder jumped up on the ring and hit Zeke. Zeke turned around and grabbed him. Khali went to hit the big chop on Zeke. Zeke ducked and hit Jinder instead. And while Khali stood there trying to figure out what had happened, Zeke was standing behind him. When he turned around, he lifted Khali's big ass up onto his shoulders in the torture rack for the submission victory. You need to see that. I mean, anytime you see somebody just manhandling a guy the size of Khali, it's I don't care how big Zeke is, it's still amazing to see a guy that big just get, you know, picked up like that, thrown off somebody's shoulders. I got to tell you, I was heading into this match. We just come out of that awful Divas match, and this was coming up next, and I'm like, oh, God, from Divas to two big men who we have seen time and time again can't work. I got to tell you, I was really shocked at how good this match was. I mean, it wasn't, again, not a technical masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination, but it was one of those ones, and we talked about this before, it's my big thing, you have to tell stories in the ring. There has to be a logical beginning, middle, and end. I felt like they had that here. You know, it was about, you know, Zeke's power not being enough to get Khali until the very end when he was able to catch him off guard with the lift for the torture rack. And, you know, I thought it was about 1,000 times better than I thought it was going to be, and I was mildly entertained by it. I mean, I don't necessarily like the idea of Khali. Like, I agree with you that Jinder should be the guy in the ring with Khali enforcing from the outside, so I don't like that makeup of it. But for two guys who we have been, you know, down on as far as what they can do in the ring, I was impressed.
Yeah, I thought they exceeded my very low expectations by quite a bit. I mean, it was, you know, it was a good power exhibition for Zeke, and you know, Khali was able to work in the limited offense that he's good at, and you know, the finish, you know, with the interference, was that part of it was predictable, but it was quite a spectacle to see Zeke power up Khali for the torture rack and get the tap. So I was entertained by the match, and it exceeded my expectations, and I, you know, I don't know what more I could ask for a, you know, just a few minute TV match between two big men. So I thought it worked overall. I thought it worked pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, again, I was blown away by, like I agree with you. My expectations were one place, and it went shot right past it. I was really impressed with that for a 3 minute big man match. After commercial, we had Todd Grisham backstage talking to Randy Orton. They asked him about facing Christian again next week on the Super SmackDown show. Orton said Christian just wouldn't ever go away. He said that he had taken everything from Christian except his pride, and he would take that in the cage. He said after that, it would be on to Mark Henry, who had been walking around and destroying people. He said that he would not make the mistake and underestimate Mark Henry, just like all of his opponents should not make the mistake and underestimate him. Standard fare from Randy Orton, nothing to get up or down about. I mean, it's pretty much the same promo we cut every week. It's, you know, I mean, he puts the guys over that he's facing, and Well, I mean, at least he did with Mark Henry. With Christian, he's just burying Christian. But he put Henry over and made him seem like the legitimate threat. But said, you know, I'm not going to lose. I mean, it's just what we get from Randy Orton each and every week. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to be down on it for any reason, that would be it. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of flaws with the promo. But it is, you know, it is getting into that weird kind of Cena territory where you're just kind of getting put off by how obnoxious this character is at times. You know, it's just like, yeah, I'm going to beat this guy, and then I'm going to go beat that guy, and then whoever comes next, I'm going to beat that guy too. I'll see you later. You know, it's just like, okay, Randy, thanks. You know, I wish there was more to him than that, but it doesn't appear like we're going to get it.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing technically wrong with it. If you see that in a bubble, then it's a very good promo, but it's not in a bubble. We've seen it a million times, and it's pretty much so you can just change out the names and you're getting the same promo every week. After that, they cut to a really impressive, and for WWE, a surprisingly long, I thought, video that hyped Mark Henry, you know, went through all the things he had done, the destruction, the breaking of the legs of Kane and Big Show, putting Sheamus to the wall, the retaining wall at SummerSlam. They've been hyping him. They've been, you know, giving him, you know, a major push here in the past few weeks. He's done, past couple of months, really. He's done a fantastic job with it, all the things we've talked about. And again, I thought this package was even better than the Daniel Bryan package we had earlier in the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Mark Henry's package was very solid. And I've been, you know, a huge fan of this character since his move to SmackDown and since his heel turn. So, you know, this covered all of its bases and really put Mark Henry over as the monster that he has been. And, you know, I don't know what else you could ask for out of video packages. It was just one of those typical stellar, you know, WWE production edits that really sells you on, you know, what we've seen over the last couple of months. I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, I think if anybody was on the fence about Henry, that video package showed them over the top, for sure. After commercial, we had our sixth and final match of the night, main event, Sheamus defeating Mark Henry by count out at 7 minutes and 43 seconds. I thought that this match was a little bit better than what we got at SummerSlam. I thought it was paced better. It just felt like a better match. Again, it was another count out victory, and this time for Sheamus. The end came when Henry rolled to the floor. Sheamus tried to grab him, and Henry dragged him out of the ring and tossed him down. Henry cleared off the announce table, obviously, to do something there on it. He picked up Sheamus. Sheamus slid out and hit the bro kick instead, which sent Henry, you know, flying over the announce table. He went over and threw a couple of the announcer's chairs on top of him and rolled back in the ring. Sheamus did, and the ref finished the count-out victory. I guess what I liked about this more than anything else is that, you know, the kick happened late in the count, and it was okay because we already set the standard with the previous count out. It was okay to see a second one on the opposite side here to give some sort of balance to that. But I thought really what made it okay for me was where Sheamus was dragging himself back to the ring at SummerSlam. This is one of those things where Henry was knocked out for a couple of seconds. He threw the chair off. He stood up. And then there's the bell, and so he's just standing there looking pissed off and I cannot believe that happened, kind of look on his face and are you kidding me type thing. He trashed the announce table, and we'll get to the post-match meet down in a second. But, again, I thought it was a better match than SummerSlam, paced better, was more entertaining to me. This was about the only time I really woke up during the show was during this match, but it really grabbed my interest and kept me watching. What did you think of the match, and do you think it was better than the SummerSlam match?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was paced better, and I thought the finish was a little bit better done. You know, I saw why they went with the finish at SummerSlam, just because, you know, having Sheamus kind of crawling back to the ring symbolically was kind of cool. And then here, you know, we saw the same thing happened to Henry, and he just kind of looked there, kind of mad dogging everybody. It's really amazing what has happened to Mark Henry over the last couple of months. I mean, if you would if you were to show a reel of, you know, his Kool-Aid Man stuff compared to what we've seen the last couple of months, you wouldn't even have thought that was the same guy. So, you know, just everything that the guy's done has been fun. and brutal looking, and everything you want from a big time heel. And I think that, what we saw in this match, in the finish and leading into the post match, was just another example of that. I mean, the guy's just on fire, and everything he's touched lately has been just fun to watch. So, and I don't think this match and then the SummerSlam match were other indications of that. I mean, even though it wasn't the most technically sound match, and it wasn't a spot fest in any way, shape, or form. Everything in the match always looks brutal. It looks tough. Looks like it hurts, and that's what Mark Henry's good at. So I think he's doing well.
Yeah, definitely watching these two hook it up is one of those reasons why, I look at it and go, oh, that's right. That's why I never made it. Never wanted to try out as a wrestler. That shit looks painful. I mean, they really beat the hell out of each other. And it continued after the match. Henry got pissed off. He turned the announce table over, threw a couple of chairs, acted like he was going to leave the ring, and then jumped up on the apron to get back in. Sheamus knocked him down. Sheamus went to dive on him from the apron after that. Henry caught him and drove his back into the apron. But they picked him up like he was going to run him into the post. Sheamus slid out, pushed Henry. Henry went crashing over the stairs. Sheamus took the top part of the stairs off of the bottom part and threw it kind of at Henry's head and the post. It bounced. Henry ducked. It bounced off the post. Came down on Sheamus' leg a little bit. When it came down on the side, I thought, good Lord, he's going to end up with this big nasty gash on his leg from that metal. It didn't happen, but he turned around. Henry hit a clothesline and then picked him up and hit the world's strongest slam on the steps, which I'm sure felt fantastic, and left Sheamus just stretched out and laid out with, arms out to his sides, the head back, laying off at the bottom part of the stairs. I thought it was a very good visual to finish SmackDown with. I assume we'll see more of those guys at the Super SmackDown show, certainly based on that. So Henry takes the loss, but definitely keeps his heat at the end. Post-match stuff, as good as the match stuff, yeah?
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed the post-match. Sheamus is going to get, he's going to get his licks in, and the next time they see each other, I think knowing, that Henry is still technically the number one contender after Christian, you kind of have to keep him strong, and that's what they did in the post-match here, even though he took the loss in the match itself. So I thought it worked overall. I winning the match and then taking that beat down, I don't think Sheamus really lost anything here. He still looks like a tough SOB going out there and then taking on a guy like Henry. So I thought it worked for both guys, and the visual to close the show was very good. It's watching Henry stand over Sheamus with him basically limp on the steel steps was a cool visual to leave the viewers with him on the show. So very well done.
And him screaming, "You can't beat me!" at the top of his lungs was a nice close to it as well. It was a show that for me was, like I said, just kind of hum, kind of sleepy, not anything to really capture my interest. I got up a couple of times for Christian and Daniel Bryan, and then it just, it didn't quite deliver, and then I got up for Orton and DiBiase, and it was just kind of, I don't know, I guess, I think just looking at that going, how this is going to end up, there's no reason to even think that it could go the other way, and I think that hurts matches. I think that sometimes WWE forgets that you have to believe the other guy can win for it to be a match worth watching, but I'm not a total foul there, just maybe me more than anything else. Like I said, it could just be that. And then I thought it closed strong with Sheamus and Mark Henry, and then, of course, the post-match stuff. So an okay show that was definitely working towards next Tuesday, Super SmackDown, Alberto Del Rio versus Sin Cara on that match, and in a cage for the World Heavyweight Championship, Randy Orton defends against Christian. Those, I believe, are the only two matches that have been booked for that show. Jake will be covering that show with Jason Powell. Jason and I are switching sides this coming week. I'll be covering Raw on Monday. Jason will be covering with Jake on Tuesday. What else do you think we're going to get from them on Tuesday? Do you think we're going to see them start booking? What is the next pay-per-view? I can't even remember what the next one is.
Night of Champions.
Night of Champions, that's right. I could not get it for save my life. Do you think we're going to see... obviously we're hoping we're going to see more build for that. We're seeing more build on the Raw side than we are on the SmackDown side. Do you think we're going to get, you know, something that feels towards Night of Champions, or do you think we're going to get something that's more of a one-off because it's live and it's on Tuesday and it's a little bit different?
It's hard to say. I mean, usually they usually have a couple of inter-brand matches at Night of Champions, it seems, for whatever reason. And so I'm expecting there to be a lot of crossover next week with SmackDown guys appearing on Raw to promote Super SmackDown, and then we're having, you know, some of the Raw guys are going to be on Super SmackDown. So we'll probably see some cross-promotion between the two, you know, maybe leading to some Night of Champions matches. So, and I think they have to start to build towards Night of Champions next week just because they only have the one match announced as far as I know with Cena versus Alberto Del Rio. So they're going to have to start announcing matches and start hyping them soon because this will be, what, 3 weeks left now until the pay-per-view? So
that's correct.
You got to start doing something. Otherwise, they're going to be doing another one of those two-week builds that doesn't really do any favors for any of the matches.
I think we might see something on Raw that will give us an indication of what they're going to do on SmackDown, too. So definitely join me for Raw coverage on Monday. Join Jason and Jake for SmackDown coverage on Tuesday, and then I will pick up the pieces after that and be doing NXT Tuesday night for the three of you who actually read that report and watch that show. Be interesting to see if anybody who's actually on the show gets a chance to actually wrestle this time. Last week, none of the actual contestants wrestled or did much of anything other than kind of hang out at ringside and make a couple of statements during the show. Just a really, really bizarre the way that show was turned at this point. But definitely, you know, if you're looking for something different to check out, come read the NXT report. And then, like I said, Jason and Jake will be around for the SmackDown live show. Begins at 7 p.m. Central Time next Tuesday, and I will be there for Raw next week. Again, I want to plug it one more time, our summer special sale before we get out of here. I know you guys heard it on the top end, but it's really a great price. I mean, again, members who were there from the very beginning were locked in at this price. Prices have gone up. Jason's now offering it to you guys again, so you can check it out. Just $5, $2.50 is what you save. I mean, you're saving 30% off of what the standard monthly price is to be able to check out .net and all that we have, all the audio, the ad-free version of the site, the members forum, the members blog section. So again, head over to ProWrestling.net if you're listening on iTunes. If you're already on the site or once you get there, look on the right-hand side. The summer sale is right there. All the codes you need to put in to be able to get those special prices. Definitely check it out. Definitely take it. You know, it's $5. And you can, you know, instead of getting a stupid Subway sandwich from Jared, and yes, that's for Jason because he hates Jared from Subway for reasons we don't ever fully understand. You know, instead of a Subway sandwich, you can get all the news and information available to you. Not to mention, we're always having some sort of news breaking that we give to members first. So I cannot encourage you enough to sign up for the .NET Summer Sale, get yourself a good price, lock it in for the year, and maybe next year we'll have another summer sale and you'll be able to continue that price. Before we get out of here, Jake, is there anything else you want to add about SmackDown? Or tell us real quick for people who haven't heard, you know, who are not members or are thinking about listening, real quick, just give us a rundown of the .NET Countdown show that you and Will Pruitt do each and every week.
Yeah, Will and I started getting together, I think it's 6 or 7 weeks ago, to put something together for the members. We go through the top five and the bottom three moments each week, and we kind of put that set list together before we get recording, and you know, we just kind of talk about it like we would have any other conversation. It's just two wrestling fans and you know, two .NET staff members going over, you know, what they think about what happened in wrestling the previous week. And I think, you know, it's nice because we talk about five things, you know, that we're very positive on and three things that we wish would improve. And I think it gets people a good idea. Because I think a lot of, you know, wrestling shows tend to be negative. And I think it's good that we definitely talk about some positive things that are going on in wrestling. Because it's easy to get negative at times with what's going on in WWE, and especially internet fans tend to get negative. So we really wanted to promote the idea that there are good things going on in wrestling, and you know, even if there are some negative things, we want to discuss them in a way that's productive and give some constructive criticism.
And it's definitely worth listening to. I listen to it every week if at all possible. I catch most of them and usually go back. If I don't, if I've missed one, I try to go back and get it within the next couple of days. Just, you know, again, more bang for your buck there, some more value for you. I cannot recommend it enough. Sign up for the .NET Summer Sale. We will be back next week with another SmackDown audio review. We'll be members only, though, so if you want to listen to that one, you got to sign up now. Jake, thank you again for joining me. We'll see you guys again next week with the SmackDown audio review. Everyone, have a great weekend. If you're on the coast and you're in the line of Irene, please take care. As someone who's been through several hurricanes here in North Carolina, they're nothing to sneeze at. They're not just big thunderstorms. They are serious. They're not quite the Armageddon that some of the people have made them out to be this week, but certainly take care of yourself. Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.